Well, good morning, each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining us. Those of us that are here are fully aware that it is extremely cold outside. If you're watching this delayed or from another part of the world, it's cold in northern Minnesota today, and we are glad that we are able to gather in a place that's slightly warmer than it is outside. We gather, regardless of temperature or weather, because we need to worship Jesus. And we need each other. We need the fellowship of believers. We need one another so that we can encourage one another and help one another as we journey after Christ together. Let's pray as we begin this morning. Lord Jesus Christ, we gather together in your name to worship you, to declare your greatness, to announce to the world and especially to our own hearts that you are Master, you are Lord, you are Savior, you are God with us. And we celebrate you. We celebrate what you've accomplished. We celebrate your grace to us, your mercy to us, your love to us. That you would humble yourself, become a child, live amongst us, allow yourself to be oppressed in so many ways, and then ultimately go to the cross and give your very life for us. We recognize that you are the sacrifice of atonement. You are the one that paid our debt, paid our price, so that we could be made whole. That your righteousness actually might be put on our record. It's an amazing thing that you would do. And we are so thankful. We ask now that as we look at your word and as we consider what you've done and as we then respond in prayer, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, be working in each heart right now. That you'd be enabling us to respond to you. That as you are the author, as you are the initiative, that we would then be enabled to respond in faith to you. And in Jesus' name, we take authority over this time and we banish the enemy and all of his lies and all of his accusations and all his temptations. We banish those. We create now a place of encountering the manifest presence of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we begin looking at God's word together this morning, I celebrate the turning of a new calendar. I know some people try not to make a big deal of it, but for me, it's a big deal. You turn to a whole new calendar, and it's full of blank little squares and opportunities to do, to experience, to connect, to be part of what God's doing in the world. And so today we want to start this new year with a clean slate. Christ came to make a clean slate. Now, I recognize as I was thinking about that term that many of our younger people have never seen a blackboard, a real blackboard where white chalk was used. Most schools now use either whiteboards or computerized boards. But a black slate blackboard would be wiped down, and the white chalk removed, and it would be cleaned and made ready for a new round of instruction. Oftentimes, kids were assigned the duty of cleaning off the blackboard. They took a rotating set of turns, and then someone had to go outside and slap the erasers together and get the chalk all off so that the teacher had a clean slate to do a new round of instruction. God is about clean slates. God is about clean hearts. God is about clean lives. Now, the reality is that so many people have entered into a stage of life with the previous stage of life still dragging him down. I don't know about you, but I've made some mistakes. Anybody else relate to that? And the mistakes seem to continue to have an impact into the future unless something is done to cut off the impact of that thing. Christ comes to make us free to walk with him as we move into the future. So we're going to talk about forgiveness today. Forgiveness. It seems like such a simple thing, but the reality is that many people have never experienced it and are not currently enjoying forgiveness. So we'll do a little Bible journey together as we look at what God has done for us. First of all, we're going to recognize that forgiveness is necessary. For my confirmation students, here's point number one on your notes. Forgiveness is necessary. It's absolutely necessary. Without forgiveness, no one gets to experience intimacy with God. The word forgiveness simply means to cancel a debt or to give pardon, to wipe clean. We do that with people when they've wronged us so that a relationship could be restored. Well, the ultimate relationship, of course, is our relationship with God. And we need God to do the wiping clean in our lives. But the problem is that we've sinned. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Or from Psalm 51, we read that earlier together as a congregation, as our call to worship. Verses 3 through 5 read, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, God, you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. It's pretty amazing to think about the fact that every human being starts out sin-stained. Starts out with a sinful heart, a sinful nature. No matter how cute the child looks, inside is a heart that is bent on selfishness, self-centeredness, unable to truly respond in love to God and to others, in need of cleansing. The truth is that no unredeemed person, no matter young or old, can ever enter into the presence of God. A sinful heart, what we inherit from our natural parents, can never enter into the presence of God. Something has to be done. Forgiveness is necessary. Christ has some pretty pointed and even painful words. In one of his parables, he was talking about how people respond to him and to one another. And he says this, Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 41 and 46, "Then he," the king, "will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.'" It'd be nice if everybody got to go to heaven no matter what, some people say. But is that real? Is that how we really want it? Do we want a heaven filled with people who have spent their whole life rebelling against God, turned away from God, or ignoring God? Do we want sin brought into the very presence of God in the chambers of heaven? No, the truth is that God has created a perfect place, and the only people that get to go to that perfect place are people who have been perfected by God. Every person that gets to go to heaven has to have been cleansed by God, so that then heaven could truly be a perfect place. I couldn't get to heaven, you couldn't get to heaven, unless God did something in your heart to remove sin. And God has. That's the good news. God has done what's necessary to remove that sin, that seed of sin that you got from your creation, your conception, that seed of sin that grew and acted out as you acted selfishly and self-centeredly throughout your life, that seed of sin that resulted in you saying things and doing things you shouldn't do and then failing to do the things and say the things you should have said or done, that thing needs to be removed. And God has come to remove it. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God desires to forgive us, so he provides for that forgiveness by enabling us to repent. It's a simple word, repent. It simply means to turn. To turn. You were going that way, you turn and go the other way. You turn from sin towards God. You turn from self-centeredness toward God-focused. To turn. Romans 6:23. It's a small verse with two very distinct halves. Romans 6:23, the first half declares, "The wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. When you sin, you earn something. You earn spiritual death, separation from God for eternity. That's bad news. But God, in his perfect plan, has allowed us to experience forgiveness by the work of Christ. The second point is that after forgiveness is necessary, the second point is forgiveness comes through Christ. Forgiveness comes through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If you can picture Christ on the cross, he cries out in agony. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That was the moment when sin was placed on the sinless Savior. That was the moment when all of the sin of mankind, yours included, was put on the Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment when sin was on Christ, even he experienced separation from the rest of the Trinity. The perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ, had sin on him so that he was separated momentarily from the Trinity. But as he gave up his life, he paid the debt for that sin that each and every one of us might experience his righteousness. Christ's perfection becomes yours. Your record becomes Christ's record. His completely sinless life is now attributed to you. So that when heaven looks down and sees you, it sees not your past, but the present reality of Christ's perfection. I want you to think about that for a while. Because as a Christian, we're called to make this huge transition to thinking like Christ, thinking like God, thinking like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we need to even think about ourselves that way. And if God from heaven looks down upon us and sees not our past, not our mistakes, not the broken promises, not the immorality, not the covetousness, not the greed, not the stealing, not the murderous, whether acts or words, but sees instead Christ's perfection, then we need to change our own vision. If that's how God sees us, then we need to start seeing ourselves that way. So turn your eyes around and look at yourself. What do you see? Do you see the screen moving with pictures of mistakes, or do you see the blood of Christ washing you clean and the very perfection of Jesus being yours? Scripture uses a terminology of changing garments. You take off the soiled rags that were covered with the muck of sinfulness, and you put on the righteous robes of Christ. See, when you're forgiven, all sin is removed. Christ died to give you his perfection. In him, in Christ, we become the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God. Or 1 John 2:2 says it this way, "He, Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus rose from the dead, proclaiming victory over sin and death." That's our present reality. Forgiveness is necessary, yes. Forgiveness comes through Christ, yes. Thirdly, forgiveness is received. Forgiveness is received. It's something you grab a hold of like a gift. It's something you appropriate. It's something that's extended by God, and we by faith say, "Yes, I receive it. I take it. I make it my own. I grab a hold of it." That verse, Romans 6:23, starts off so negatively, saying, for the wages of sin is death. But it ends so beautifully. It says at the end, but the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, you earn death, but you receive a gift from God, the gift of eternal life. So do you want that? I know I do. I know I want you to have it. I know I want my friends and family, and I want the people of our community to receive that gift, to be able to walk into this new year with a clean slate, with all sin removed and the consequences cut off, and receiving the righteousness of Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. It's a gift from God. It's his grace extended to us. And then lastly, fourthly, forgiveness must be experienced every day. And maybe we don't want to change the word must to a can. Forgiveness can be experienced every day. Forgiveness should impact every day. Forgiveness is something not just in the past, but in the present. Forgiveness is received and then enjoyed, and then we revel in it. We can wake up every morning and say, well, the face doesn't look so good, but I'm forgiven. We can walk into the work assignment, whatever it is, and say, well, I'm not real happy to be at work, but I'm happy to be forgiven. Whatever it is we're doing that day, we can do with the understanding of the fact that we are God's redeemed individuals who have experienced God's grace, received the gift of God's grace, and that impacts the way we live, the way we look at the situations around us, the way we interact with the people around us. Because there might be someone that you bump into during the day that isn't perfect yet, isn't always living out the love and truth of Christ. And you might need to remind yourself that I'm forgiven, therefore it will impact the way I treat this person, including the way you treat the person who is your very self. See, love of self comes when you recognize the love of God for yourself. God loves you so much that he paid the ultimate price to take away anything that contaminates and to give you his perfection so you could walk in an intimate relationship with him from that day forward. Forgiveness is enjoyed every day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we affirm the truth of your word that says forgiveness is necessary. We don't pretend that we might somehow get by and squeak our way into heaven. We recognize we need cleansing. We need your forgiveness. And so because of that truth, we repent from anything of our selfish past, and we turn towards you. And with faith, we grab a hold of you. We know that you, Lord Jesus, are the author of forgiveness, the one who offers it to us. And so we say, yes, by faith, we receive your forgiveness. We welcome it as a gift. And then, Lord, help us now to live it out, to walk in it every day, to revel in the reality that we are the forgiven ones, the redeemed ones, the children of God, all due to your grace. We thank you for this gift. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Amen.